Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Creator Talks. I am your host, Christopher Calloway. On this episode, we're going to continue our spotlight on Insane Comics. We have a creator from Insane Comics today, Tyler Carpenter, on his book, Demons. The first four issues are available at the Insane Comics website and Comicology, and issue 5 is in the works, and there's more on the way, and we're going to talk about the series coming up. We've done a lot of spotlights on Insane Comics creators, and this is the last one I had in queue, so we're going to get to this one today so you can find out more about Tyler, his book, and his experience at the Las Vegas Comic Con. Okay, so before we get started with our interview, let me just give you a description of issue 1 so you know what Demons is all about. While running through the city, Detective Ace Carter shoots a criminal only to have him transform into a demonic monster. Ace immediately seeks out the help of his father, a priest. His father informs him of a group known as F666, which goes after such demons, and soon finds out that they have opened the portal to hell. Okay, so you got the background now? Tyler is the writer, letter, and colorist of this book, and he has the pencils and inks being handled by Travis Martinez. And Tyler will talk a bit about the artist as well. So, without further ado, let's get on to our interview with Tyler Carpenter about his book, Demons, his con appearance in Las Vegas, and how that was better than the one he had in Phoenix. So let's get started here now on Creator Talks. Tyler, welcome to Creator Talks.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. And we were supposed to talk about a week ago, but you were off to Las Vegas, the amazing Las Vegas Con. Was that your first time going to the amazing Las Vegas Con?
Yeah, I've only done 2 cons. I did Phoenix Con last month, and then, yeah, I did Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. Now, was that your first time ever going to a con, or as a creator?
As a creator going to a con, yeah. Phoenix was my first, then Las Vegas was my second, and yeah.
Okay. And how was the experience for you going, being on the other side of the table?
It was hard. I have a lot of appreciation for people who do this like full time because it was so hard. Especially being an indie creator, it was a lot harder than I wanted, I guess.
It's hard. You know, you're trying to get people's attention because they're running around trying to find the big name creator. And I've gone to cons and I've covered them for press, and you know, people looking at me like, please talk to me. And I feel so bad because I can't get to everyone. And how do you get people's attention? Like, you know, some people are like carnival barkers. They're yelling out, read my book. And that doesn't always work really well. So what were you doing to get people to come by and check out Demons?
I brought a deck of cards and I'd look at them and go, hey, do you want to see a magic trick?
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then they'd be like, yeah, okay. And I'd show them a card trick. And while I'm doing the card trick, I'm like, you know, dealing out the cards. I'm like, by the way, I have this book, Demons, right here. I also have like some art prints. I also can do some sketches for you. And I'm doing the trick. And then like the second part of the trick will be there. And they go, yeah, so will happen. I'm like, yeah, so Demons is about this. And then finally I'm like, is this your card? And they're like, oh, no, that's not my card. I'm like, ta-da, sweet. And then I grab the book and I put it in their hand, and by that time, like, they already know it. By the time the trick's done, they already know what the book's about. They're now flipping through the artwork, and they're like, and then because I, you know, did that card trick, we have a friendly relationship, you know, and then we're able to talk more after that. And if not, and if they don't want to buy anything, they usually just leave a tip. I have like a little tip cup. Okay. And they'll leave a tip for the magic trick, which is weird because sometimes they'll hand me $5 in the tip jar. I'm like, you could have just bought my book.
That's a great technique. If I were a single guy, I'd be going into bar saying, hey, you want to see a magic trick? And I'd probably get the answer, yeah, disappear. But no, that's a really good idea. I like that. I mean, that's a nice way to engage with people. Have you been working, practicing magic as just like a hobby on the side?
No.
Just an icebreaker.
Yeah, when I was in when I went to Phoenix Con, that was my first con ever. The first day, I'd never sold one thing. I didn't sell one thing.
Oh, man.
And so, yeah, so I went back to my friend's house who I was staying with, and I was like, dude, I did not sell anything. I need to get people I need to get people to my table. And he goes, well, dude, I served an LDS mission in South Africa for my church. And so to sometimes to like get into people's houses who wouldn't let us, we would go to their kids and go, hey, do you want to see a magic trick? Do the magic trick for these African kids. And they'd be like, oh, that was so cool. And then they'd take us in to see their family to show the family it. So we're like, okay, we'll do the same. I was like, God, dude, I guess it's the same principle. Let's do it at Phoenix Con. And like the next day we were selling the whole time. It just meant we were doing magic tricks all day.
That's brilliant. That's really brilliant. Did you meet any fans there? Like anyone that has read the book and gave you some feedback?
No. I met one guy and he picks up the book and he goes, I saw this on Comixology. And I was like, oh, thanks. Like, that's really cool. He goes, yeah, it didn't look really appealing. I was like, okay, well, like, well, what about now? Like, what about now? Like, the book's in your hand. He goes, no, it still doesn't look very appealing. And he walked off.
Oh, God. Brutal honesty there. Oh, man.
I know. I was like, oh, thanks. You don't get a magic trick.
No. Did you get a chance to meet anyone that you've always wanted to meet? I mean, I'm sure you're probably anchored to your table most of the time. But did you get a chance to walk around and say, hey, good to see you?
Yeah, I'm such a like a loser. I was in the bathroom and I'm washing my hands and all of a sudden I hear this guy next to me go, oh, there's no more soap. And I looked over and I was like, oh, it's Jason Fabik. And so really? I'm like, hey man. And he goes, dude, there's no soap. And I was like, yeah, can I get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, not in the bathroom.
There are limits.
So I saw Jason Fabik. I saw Tyler Kirkham. They're both DC artists. Mm-hmm. The guy sitting next to me, he does Zombie Tramp. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
I hadn't heard of it either, but a lot of people were at his booth, so I guess people had heard of that, of him. But really, after that, I didn't really meet anyone else because, I was just so glued to my table.
Now, I saw listed, and a lot of that information has been taken down now on the web, but because they're getting ready for 2018.
Yeah.
But I saw listed, it said Stan Lee, George Perez, Rob Liefeld. Were they there?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Todd McFarlane, Kevin Eastman. Yeah, they were there.
Now, were they hard to get to, and they were they like premium tickets? Or I'm sure Stan, I know there's a certain protocol for meeting Stan. It's like seeing the Pope. Yeah,
exactly. He's the reason why there's all these Comic Cons. For Todd, it was pretty easy. It's pretty easy for people to see them. You just have to wait in this huge line that takes like an hour. And so that was difficult because these people would be in line for like 3 hours, and then after that, they would leave the con.
Oh, no kidding! They would that doesn't seem really great. I mean, geez, I'd check everything else out while I'm there.
The last day, I got moved to a full booth. And the line was behind me, and so I would turn around periodically and be like, hey, who wants to see a magic trick? Come over here. You know, save your spot in line, but come over here.
And I guess, Stan, did you see him at all, or was he off someplace else?
I heard him. I heard him at one point. I heard him at one point. I was like, is this the voice of God? No.
I did not think that Stan would still be around. Like, when I'm this age, it's like, wow. That dude, he'll be around. He's 100.
Yeah, he's ancient.
And he's got so much energy still. And he's still working on, he's always working on something.
Yeah, like he does not know what the word like retired means.
No.
Like he should have retired like 15 years ago and never like done anything else, but he is. It's ridiculous.
Well, it seems now like since the Marvel movies, he's really getting his just due as far as recognition. And, because, I mean, back when he was making a lot of this stuff, all the artists and writers were making this stuff, all these comics, all these heroes, they really didn't get a whole lot. I mean, they would get scale, and Stan was hustling, trying to get all that stuff into Hollywood and on television, and that's when things really broke out. It was really like Joe Quesada who started working out the deals to get those movies on the big screen and done well, you know, really well.
Yeah.
So where did you stay in Las Vegas?
Man, I stayed like in some like crappy hotel. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was like a step above one of those CSI episode hotels. no Wi-Fi. Like it was just, I was just grateful that there was air conditioning, that the TV was like from like the 90s and it would freeze periodically or no volume. Well, yeah, it was, it was crappy, man. We were there strictly just to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Go there, sleep, wake up, go to the con, go back, sleep.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It was.
You know, it's funny. My wife and I were talking about a hotel experience, a motel experience, since we were talking about which one we were going to be using for the beach later on this summer. And we went to Toronto like back in 2008, and we had reservations at this chain motel. And we went in to our room, and you could hear the person in the next room going to the bathroom. The walls were so thin.
Oh my gosh.
And there was a door, a metal door, just outside of our room that they were working on and kept slamming. And I just said, this is horrible. We got to get out of here. And there was a bowling convention in town, so the place was packed. Seriously. And everybody else was fine with it. And we're like, we want to leave. What's wrong? I said, have you looked?
Yeah.
So we managed to find a nice hotel because it was my wife's birthday to boot, right? So like, I can't be like, no, we're going to stay. And they had one room left. And they said, now, we're sorry, but the soap holder is broken in the shower. I said, no, that's fine. Yeah. But no, I've had those experiences where it's like, oh my God, like I just want clean, comfortable, just decent, you know. But when you're starting out, man, you know, that's, I figured you wouldn't be staying in the MGM Grand because, I mean, you know, that's expensive. I mean, it's nice.
No, but I stayed across from it. So, I mean,
oh, okay.
So I got to leave my hotel every day and be like, hey, that place is probably a lot nicer.
Did you get a chance to look inside of any of the hotels or the MGM Grand?
No, you know, I was, you know, like, standing at a table all day is pretty exhausting. Mm-hmm. But then doing, like, constant magic tricks, constant just talking with people, it was so exhausting. I did in Las Vegas after the con, once it was done that night, was I'd go on a run.
Okay.
And then I would come back to my hotel and then I'd sleep.
Then you're done. Yeah, you spent the last of your energy for your run.
Exactly.
Mm, yeah, the MGM's nice. We stayed there and it's like constant party. Like you get to your room, it's quiet. Because this would not have worked for you even if you're like, yeah, I'm going to splurge and do it. Because then as soon as you leave your room, you get on the elevator, it's like party, music the whole time, in and out. It's like nonstop, day and night. So it would have been a little tough for you to decompress and unwind.
Yeah.
And people don't realize, like, if you work in retail or you're like a barista, you're standing all day, and that does take a lot out of you.
Yeah, the standing and the interacting with people.
Mm-hmm.
And like the constant like flow of like success and disappointment.
It's a roller coaster ride.
Yeah, yeah. You're just like, yeah, you might pitch something for someone for like 5 minutes, and at the end they're like, oh, nah, and you're like, oh, that was exhausting, and they didn't even do it.
Now you know what salespeople go through. That's it, you know? I mean, you do your best, and sometimes it works, and sometimes, well, you just spent 5 minutes working on your pitch. You know, you're refining your pitch. So you get something out of it. I mean, you learned something from Phoenix when you came to Vegas, and you had all these other ideas and techniques. Did you – I guess you could probably drive from where you are in Utah.
Yeah.
Get to the con. Okay. Whereabouts? Central Utah or Southern Utah or?
I'm in Provo, so it's like it's like 30 minutes from Salt Lake.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, it was only like a 4.5 hour drive.
Only.
Yeah. I know. Well, Phoenix was a 10 hour drive for me.
Oh man.
Yeah. And the day before I left for Phoenix, I drove 12 hours from Seattle back to Utah, got 4 hours of sleep, and then drove to Phoenix.
Wow.
So yeah, 4 hours, 4.5 hours to Las Vegas was a piece of cake.
And I guess to take all of your stuff, you really do need to drive, because to get all that stuff onto a flight, check bags, it's a nightmare. So, you don't want to deal with that. You don't want to lose anything. You don't want to pay the extra fees for the extra bags. It's just, nah.
Yeah, no way.
Well, at least it's a nice drive. I've been to Las Vegas several times, which is why I want to talk to you about it, because it's like my second home. And I've been to Utah, just like Southern Utah, like Bryce Canyon and around Four Corners area. Yeah, it's really nice there. And I think Zion is in.
Zion. Yeah,
I've been to Zion too. Yeah, that was actually all the same trip. It was a whirlwind trip through Arizona and then up into Utah. But it was great. I really like it out there. It's my favorite part of the country.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty. It's beautiful.
Now, moving on. I just want to clear the air. I want to get this out there so we can move on. And as you probably take a lot of heat for this, but I just want you to know I'm not bothered by it at all. This show is a safe place. You look like a young, healthy John Belushi. Has anyone ever told you?
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. Oh my gosh. So my one of my best friends, we're his I go to meet his family for the first time, and his dad is just staring at me. And finally, he goes up to me and he's just like, "You look like a young John Belushi." And every time I'd go there for like the next like month, every time he'd just be like, "You look like a John Belushi." Just like finally his like, yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah, I have been told that before. And he would pull up like a Google Pics and be like put like my face side to side. Oh man, that is hilarious.
That's great. Now, your book, Demons, and you just spoke about this a moment ago, was formed while you were in Africa doing missionary work. And that's, I found that to be just fascinating. I want to talk a bit about that first before we get to the book. Now, is this something that is expected part of your religion to do missionary work, or did you say, I'm doing missionary work?
So it's kind of expected in the Mormon like religion that like at 18 the men once you're 18 you'll go after high school to go on a mission for 2 years. And you don't have any, you have zero contact with your family, you don't watch TV, movies, you like cut off from basically the world, and you're strictly just focused on this missionary work. And so I was not down with that. And so I told my parents no. And then finally, when I was 20 years old, I left and I went on one, and I went to South Africa.
Okay, is that where most of the missionaries wind up? Is in South Africa, or are there other locations you could choose?
So you don't choose.
Okay, you're
So you
assigned.
don't you're assigned, and so they go all over the world. All over the world, all over America, all over the world. I just so happened to get assigned to South Africa.
And while you were there, you had the idea of demons and actually started to, if I understand this correctly, started to plot out the whole first story arc. And you saw forms and of evil there. And can you share like what you saw that kind of inspired you to write this comic book?
I'm a really religious person, and so while we were there, the African people there, they're very superstitious, very, and they believe in a lot of supernatural stuff. And I thought it was all like baloney. I was like, this is stupid, and it's not true. But I remember one experience. We went to someone's home to like teach them, and we instantly just had this like evil feeling, like super evil feeling. I was like, and I looked at my companion, because we're paired in two the whole time. I looked at him and I was like, dude, this is not a good place. And then we looked over and we saw they're called Sangomas, and they wear these certain types of robes, and they're considered witches. And so we see these robes that are for these witches. I was like, dude, we gotta get out of here. And he's like, okay, sweet, but she's got a bongo drum. And I was like, okay, so. And the lady comes out and goes, "Don't touch that bongo drum, or I'm gonna curse you for a week."
Oh.
And he goes, and at first I was like, okay, well, that was dumb. Like, I've heard that in World of Warcraft. And he was like, oh yeah, and he hit the drum. And I was like, oh crap, why did you do that? And we didn't really think anything of that like the rest of the day. We went about it, and then the next day he couldn't get out of his bed.
Oh,
Just like
jeez.
just sick immediately. And then he was like, for the rest of the week, he was like dying. Like, not really dying, but he was so sick, he could not move, he couldn't get out of bed, he couldn't eat. He got this huge boil infection. And like, he had to go to the hospital. And finally, like, and we didn't like really think about like the connection between the witch and like the sickness. And then after that week, though, he was fine. And then I was like, we were talking, I was like, dude, you're fine. He goes, yeah, that was weird, it was just a week. And then I was like, oh dude, it was that bongo drum. What the heck, you shouldn't have hit
Probably covered in parasites.
that. I
She
know.
wasn't kidding. You'll be cursed for a week.
Yeah,
Don't do
trying to
it.
figure out. Yeah, so, and like, there was a bunch of times where people would have us go into their homes and be like, hey, can you say a prayer for us, because we think our house is haunted, or blah blah blah. And so we did that. But there was a bunch of times though where you would go into a place and you would feel genuine like evil in there. And then you would leave out, you'd walk out hoping that it was gone.
Wow.
But it was stuff I didn't believe in until I got there.
Now, demons, you would plan to write that, draw it, color it, like do everything. And you probably found out that, wow, that is a lot of work. You're capable of doing them all. But, doing a story with sequential art takes a lot of time and you could use some help. So you searched for an artist. Tell me about that.
Actually how I found Trevis is pretty awesome. And I love telling the story. So I got back from South Africa and immediately jumped into wanting to do comic books. And I had no idea how to like produce a professional quality comic book. And so I started looking for an artist and I was on these indie sites and I saw Trevis has his own comic books that he does, that he writes and draws. And so I saw those and I was like, wow, that guy's style is so awesome. That's exactly what I want. I have no idea how I'm going to get a hold of this guy. And for the next 3 or 4 months, I was constantly reading Trevis's book because it was coming out on a weekly basis, just a couple pages here and there. And I was like, wow, I freaking love this guy. I still can't get a hold of him. And so a year passed. I started just practicing drawing, figuring I'm never going to be able to find an artist. And then I was on some comic book forum and Trevis's name came up and he said, hey, I'm looking for workers. Here's my email.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, my stars. And I messaged him. I was like, hey, I'm a huge fan. I've been wanting you to draw my book for the last year and a half. Will you do it? And we're working on issue 10 right now. So, yeah.
Oh, you're up to 10. That's great.
Yeah, five is coming out. Five will be coming out soon. But yeah, we're working on issue 10 right now. We have a good buffer zone just in case, we have a bad month.
Very smart. Yeah, when it's just the two of you putting out the work, you got to allow for that. You don't have a fill-in group to come in and do it for you.
Exactly.
People think it's easy just to connect with someone online and hook up and start working on something, and it's not. Sometimes you cannot reach them. Maybe they don't want to be reached. They don't want to be out there just – hit me with an email or social media. So it's not always simple. So you had to be patient and wait for a year.
Yeah.
So are you guys friends now after working together for so long?
Yeah. I mean, he's in the Philippines. So we have to message each other.
Oh, okay.
We only get to message each other. But I mean, the nice thing is that he's just as invested in the book as I am. He's not just pay me, blah, blah. He'll send me messages in the middle of the night and I'd be like, hey, I realize that this doesn't make sense. I'm going to change it. Or, hey, man, I know you said that you wanted to do it like this. I think you should I'm going to do it like this and it'll be better. I promise. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I trust him completely. The script is so loose. The script that I have for him now is so loose because it's just like, Trevis, he's doing this. Go for it. I know you can do it. Or Trevis, design it. Go for it. It's the loosest script because we have that friendship and trust.
That's great.
At this point, the first four issues, I was pretty like, Trevis, this is how I want it. I do believe in you, but if you don't believe in yourself, this is how exactly I want it.
Okay. All right. Gave him a little guidance there. A little outline to follow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But now it's all him.
Okay. And that first arc, just to kind of set it the stage for people, that we learn a lot about Agent Carter, what he's battling, demons, by the way, and his relationship to his parents and how they fit into the whole story. I won't spoil anything. I never get into the details of the story. I want people to read it. But we learn a lot about him, and we kind of set up the whole battle that he's undertaking to save mankind. So the next arc, what can we expect to see in that one? Where will the focus be?
The next arc takes place 18 months, so a year and a half after issue 4. And it's going to be – the fifth issue is more of a flashback. Basically, without spoiling anything, it starts off with Ace and Ace and Chloe, they're interrogating someone from the first arc, and they realize that, whatever they what they stopped in issue 4 is that was just phase 1 in this big like this big plot. In issue 5, we learn that Ace has gone missing for a year. He just booked it, and it's a flashback issue of Chloe talking to one of the characters, and she's learning more about some new demonic beings. And then at the end of the issue, the last page, we are now set up for the second and third arc. The third arc is the final arc of the series, but that last page is what's going to set up the rest of the series until the very, very end.
Okay. So if for some reason people didn't read 1 through 4, and that's why we're here, is to tell them about it, tell them about the book, they can always pick up 5. There'll be enough flashbacks to kind of fill in. Here's what happened. Here's we're going to set the stage again, just kind of bring you all up to speed.
Let's see. The first 3 pages, you'll probably be if it was a new reader and they picked up issue 5, they'd be like, okay, who's this person? Then through the flashbacks, they'd be like, why is this? If it was a new reader reading that, they would just be like, okay, why? There'd be enough questions being asked for themselves. They'd be like, okay, let's go read issue 4. Cause it has enough, like, do you remember this? And they'll be like, no, but I guess I need to.
All right. So you could pick up with 5, but you know, if you really want to fully understand it, you should go back and read 1 through 4.
Yeah, exactly. It would make more sense, especially because the characters we delve more into Ace, where now he's not just fighting physical demons. We're now moving into more Ace's fighting some personal demons, especially since the end of the first arc.
Okay. And so people can pick this up through Insane Comics physically or digitally, or they can go to Comicology.
Yep.
Now, was this originally published under Insane Comics? I saw it written up as Breakthrough Comics. It was Breakthrough Comics Presents. So was that where it first started?
Yeah, so originally, so I had the first 4 issues. I have this thing where I don't pitch a series until it's completely done, because I don't like being an indie comic book creator. I get how hard it is for creators to create their series, but one of my biggest pet peeves is when a creator will release a book and then I buy that book and then they don't get another issue out for another year. Like, I understand, don't get me wrong, I understand that, like, it's hard work, the industry is all about relying on someone, but now I'm not interested in that book, and so I wanted people to be interested in my book. So we finished the first 4 issues, and that's how it was supposed to end initially, and my friend and I, we have our imprint called Breakthrough Comics, and that's what I was going to release it through, and then I saw James put out, hey, we're accepting submissions. And I was like, why not? You know, I created a submission packet and I sent it to a bunch of, I sent it to Image, I sent it to Top Shelf, and then I sent it to an Insane, and Image didn't reply. Top Shelf replied. They were like, this is cool, not really our type of book, but keep going. And then James was like, yeah, we'd love to have this book on board. And then by the, near the release of the second or third book, James, gave me the green light to, continue the series.
Now, that's not the only thing you're working on, though. I was impressed with the number of books for other writers you're actually drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, I do a lot of – I'm stupid, and I like to overwork myself. And so, yeah, I do a bunch. I'm working on a crap ton of comic books right now for people and myself.
In addition to writing this one and coloring this one.
Exactly. So I just finished a graphic novel called Entity that I wrote and then I colored. And I was able to get that published printed last month in time for Phoenix Con and Vegas Con. I was working on that for the last week before Phoenix Con. All day, every day. I took the whole week off just so I could finish coloring the book because I was so behind. And then, yeah, I'm coloring Demons and still writing that. And then I have another series that I'm working on currently that I'm writing and coloring. It's called Eyewitness. We just finished the first issue. But, yeah, I won't be releasing any information on it until the series is done at 4 issues. I also draw. I do the artwork. So I do all the artwork and lettering for a couple books for John Holland. He's a writer. So I'm the artist for his Boxy series. It's a kid's book. And that does really well in the cons. I actually sold out at Vegas Con because it's a very kid-friendly book. It's about a little girl. She's able to go inside of a robot, and she fights aliens and, like, giant gorillas. It's a very Cartoon Network stuff. And so I draw all the artwork and lettering for that book. And then I did another book with John Holland recently called Life During Wartime. And I did the same thing, all the artwork and lettering. And then I'm currently working on another book with him called The Final Days of Trump. And I'm same thing, all the artwork and lettering for that. And then I'm doing the artwork, all the artwork and lettering for a book called The Untitled History of the Human Condition by Michael Max Gatti. That's a really weird and interesting book. I really enjoy it. And then I'm also illustrating a novel for someone, like 30 simple illustrations. It's like a how-to book, but I'm doing that as well.
This isn't your full-time work, though, is it?
No,
I wouldn't think so, no. And I'm sure people are saying, why are you putting so much on your plate? And frankly, I get the same thing here at home. Why are you doing so much on this podcast? And I'm like, because it's there. And I have to do it while I can and while it's available. Like, I hear you, what you're saying, but it's like, man, I got to jump on this now while Strike with Aaron's hot. So I see where you're coming from. I mean, there's the opportunity. You got to grab it.
Yeah, exactly. And, I think about what I would be doing if I wasn't doing that. I'd probably be all my friends, we all have jobs. And then we all have other things we have to do. And then if the free time I do have, like, it's either I spend like 4 hours binging on a TV show or playing video games, or I can sit down and create something that could potentially make me money.
And it's yours.
Exactly. Like when people, feel like, what do you do? Oh, I'm a published comic book writer and I can pull out my book. They go, well, you made this? And I don't think they really realize how, like, when they say you made this, like, it was a lot more than just like me saying I'm going to make this. This was months and months of hard work. But yeah, I'm able to produce something. And I also told myself, I made these goals when I was in South Africa of all the things I wanted to do when I got home. And one of them was I want to make comic books. And I was pretty strict about that. Like day one after getting back, I started.
No, I hear you. Because I'm the same way. Like I was watching lots of great TV shows because it's like the golden age right now. There's so much out there. You're just spoiled for choice and you can't fit it all in. And I love reading the comic books. And I was like, I want to do something that's mine that I make. I mean, I'm not a writer. I'm not an artist. Not a creator. But I just want to put something together that I can share my enthusiasm for the medium. And that's why I do it, because you get that sense of satisfaction. You have something to point to and say, that's something I made.
Exactly.
And you could while away your life watching TV and playing games, and they're great. But it is really nice after putting in all that hard work to actually have something to show for it. Because we're only here for a short time on this earth, and I want to leave something behind.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, also, like, I'm watching all these TV shows, and I'm like, gosh, I have a cool idea I'd want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm someone where it just drives me crazy, like, just having that idea. So I'm like, no, I'm going to put this – I'm going to make this idea real. I have to – yeah, I do put a lot of stuff on my plate, though. My friend and I are actually – the one whose dad thinks I look like John Belushi as well. We're actually starting a video podcast.
Oh, all right.
That is a lot of work. Holy crap. I commend you, man.
Videos are murder. I'll tell you, a lot of work.
It's just crazy. So yeah, we're hopefully going to be launching in a couple weeks, but like all the setup and prep that we've been doing, I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought this was going to be so easy. It looks so easy, but yeah, I commend you for having regular guests and doing this.
Yeah, no, I mean, at least you're doing this in your own environment. It's all set up. You know, you can kind of arrange things for the podcast or the video episode. I'll give you an example of something I worked on, and my family knows how hard I worked on it because they didn't see me for hours and hours. I was in a convention, Charlotte, great convention, and I had a chance to meet one of my idols, Jim Shooter. and interview him. Yeah. Oh, I mean, and there's a story behind on the podcast, like how I finally had a chance to meet him face to face after 20 some years when I first tried to meet him. And so he's like, yeah, have a seat. So I'm talking to him, and my bad, like I did not put an extension on the microphones. So as he moved, and it's not his fault, it's my fault, because I didn't set things up right, it would move the camera a little bit. So I would adjust it. And he had – the nice thing was there was a constant line of people coming through, always coming through, asking questions. And they were pretty respectful. They didn't interrupt the show, which is fine. I'm just there, you know. I mean, I'm there. But occasionally people would bump the camera. So I spent hours doing cutaways to the artists and the books he was talking about to take care of the bumps. People wonder, why is there so many pictures? That's part of it. First of all, it makes it a nice presentation to see illustrations of what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But I had to do it. And I would say it probably took me all told about 12 hours for about 40. Yeah. And I was like, I'd be laying there in bed and it's 3 a.m. I'm like, ah, I got to put in credits for all those pictures. And I get up and I just say, I'm going back. Where'd I get the picture from? Okay, here's the website. Because I think that's just the right thing to do, is give someone credit for the pictures that they're providing on the internet. It's the internet, but still, I want to give him credit. So, yeah, it takes a lot of time. No, but you'll be very pleased with what you produce in the end, though. And again, it's yours. Yeah, you'll have a lot of fun with it. I do want to let me know when that's out and ready to go. I do want to check that out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll totally let you know.
I just want to get back to the books, because I had a question about a few of them that you're working on. Well, first a comment. I'm really glad to hear that at the convention, Boxy was selling, because we often wonder, are comics still for kids? I love what they're doing with them now, because I've been reading them right up into my 50s. I'm very happy that they've grown along with me. And they have been mature, it's just that they weren't always accessible. They've always had their mature lines, but not for the general public. You know, like the creepy and the eerie's and the vampirellas, those weren't things that kids would just go by. But now it's really gratifying to hear that people are looking for books like Boxy.
Yeah, well, the nice thing, I think the reason why that is sold so well is that, you know, you have these parents who are, you know, reading their comic books, who are like, you know, more adult comic books, and then they have their kids now. They don't want their kids to be reading a Batman comic right now because they're so young, but the kid wants to leave the con with something. Yeah. And so they come with my booth, and I go to the kids, you know, the little kids love seeing magic tricks. And then while I'm talking with the little kids, showing them the magic tricks, they get all happy. They get all excited. Their parents are like, okay, this guy just made our kids happy. You know, I pull out this book and I go, hey, and I hand over the kid and they are able to look at it. And one girl, she bought the book and then she sat there at my booth. There was a seat next to me and she just read all the books.
That's great.
Yeah. So... and her parents were like, hey, we got to go. She's like, I'm reading this book, Mom. They're like, we just bought it. Read it at home. She's like, I'm reading it now. But yeah, because it's tailored for kids, I think parents were like, you know, hey, like the artwork is very cartoony, very kid friendly, very bright. You know, I think the only thing, and I always get scared that I'm going to hear about this is because I remember it. The very first page of the first book, however, it's about this 14-year-old girl. And the reason why she finds this robot is because she goes on a date with a boy, and then he kicks her out of the car because, like, he tried to kiss her. You don't see anything. You just see the car rolling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then she gets kicked out of the car, and then she yells, my boobs are something, like, they're not even, like, big enough to, like, feel up. Saying, like, I'm not even old enough to do this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it says boobs, and I've always been scared that some mom's going to be like, you said that. I thought you said this was kid friendly.
Well, compared to other things, you can just turn on the television. Yeah, it's still pretty kid friendly. Yeah.
I'll just be like, you know, that's a real life situation. You better go talk to your kid about.
That's a good point of conversation between parents and their kids.
Yeah.
and it's a fairly safe way too. I mean, I don't think it's anything terrible. Just one more thing, one more little side note here is that my daughter, when she was little, she didn't read a whole lot. And one of the things I introduced her to was Spider-Girl, the one that Tom DeFalco. Yeah. And I'm telling you, She ate that up. She wanted to read more and more. So, you know, every time even as she grew up and she was in high school, probably really didn't care too much at that point. I'm like, hey, I got your Spider-Girl this week. I went in the comic shop and picked it up for you. Dad, I don't play with dolls anymore.
Dad, you're embarrassing me.
But that was a very family-friendly book and a really good story and a very good a character. So, that yeah, it's great to see something like Boxy. People are asking for it. The other one I wanted to ask about was Smells Like Pulp Comics.
With, oh, Todd yeah, Goodman. Yeah.
I want to know a little more about that. What's that all about?
Yeah, so Smells Like Pulp Comics. It's I love working on that book. I actually need to email him to like talk when we're doing the next issue. So it Smells Like Pulp Comics is basically it's about these two comic book creators, and it's about them trying to get their comic book known. Okay. So it's very funny, full of jokes the whole time. It's a very character book. There's no like action. It's like watching an episode of Friends. That's probably how I'll say it. Yeah, you have these two characters. They created a comic book called The Cosmic Avenger. And then like I came in as the artist on the second issue. And the second issue is them. Their comic book did not sell on the opening day. They're trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to be able to get their comic book, you know. And in the third issue is about them going to a comic con and about how they're going to sell. And they run into some trouble with some old friends, some girls. And then at the end, there's a cliffhanger with one of their friends. And I'm actually looking at the book while I'm talking about it. But yeah, it's basically like a sitcom in comic book form.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, I like the sound of that. I think a lot of fans and creators too will appreciate that story. trying to get your book out there.
Oh yeah, you're like yeah. I'm like drawing this, and I'm just like even right now I was flipping through it and I was looking at some of the pages. Like, hey, I went through that last week.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I have for you now are just some questions I ask all my guests. They're just fun questions.
Yeah.
And I call it rest and relaxation because I like to know what you do for rest and relaxation. And is it really rest and relaxation?
Okay.
What do you do when you're not busy with your day job and writing and drawing and coloring to relax?
If I have downtime, I'll either play some PlayStation 4, I'll go hang out with some friends, but most of the time right now when we're hanging out, we're talking about business stuff. And then if not, I'm just asleep. I love sleeping.
Don't we all? I miss it.
I can't get enough of it. Yeah. Maybe I need to do more relaxation.
Yeah. Well, I guess kind of part of your relaxation is, like you said, you were running in Las Vegas.
That's true. But I hate exercising. I hate it.
I know. I understand.
Yeah. Maybe I can get like a hot girl to like me. That's why I'm doing it. Every day, just like, she's going to like me.
I know. I have to do it too. In fact, when we're done here, I'm going to have to go out and run. And it's just one of those necessary evils. I have to do it. You know, there's like no choice if I want to keep it together. I've got to get this stuff in.
Well, so, I'll be doing it with you because right here I have my running gear on right as you leave. We're gonna be running together.
That's great. Now, here's a question for you: if you were stuck on an island and there's no power, you know, and you have one book you can have with you, and I will allow it's a set of books if it's part of the same collection. What would that one book be? Because you're gonna be reading it for a while.
Let's see. Well, I have a couple of answers. My parents would want me to say the Bible. Mm-hmm. I'd probably say, let's see, my favorite book. Can it be a comic book?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man,
And I'll allow a bag and board to go with it, so it's protected against the elements.
Woo! That's good. All right, I'll bring the Black Mirror, Batman, the Black Mirror.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. If not, I'll bring a book on how to build a raft. But,
yes, that's very practical. Yes, yeah, Black Mirror. That was the one. That was where Robin took on the role of Batman, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's like towards the end of it. Dick is now Batman. Bruce Wayne, you know, but Bruce Wayne's doing his like international stuff and deals with like Barbara Gordon's dad, his her brother James, who's a psychopath. Yeah, and there's like
Okay.
and like this cult of like rich people called the Black Mirror Society.
I do have a copy of that. I read it a while back, but that I think Frank Avila has some art in there.
Oh man, I love his artwork so much.
That's a classic, yeah.
And I saw you interviewed him as well.
Oh yeah, from
Yeah.
Charlotte.
Yeah, I was. I watched that. I was like, oh man, I love this guy.
He's great. He like you, he's working all the time. And I'm not kidding when I say, yeah, you're up all night. I just follow him on social media and he's like
He's always drawing something.
always
Yeah.
covers. Yeah, he's like you, like the opportunity's there and he just signs up. He's going to do it while he can. He's going to just keep plugging away.
Yeah, I follow him on social media. I'm like, you know what? I didn't draw today. He drew like five things. I better start doing something.
My final question is, what is your beverage of choice when you're relaxing? Coffee? It doesn't have to be alcohol. I mean, some people they like the tea, they like coffee. Some people just like sparkling water, just plain old water. What's your beverage of choice?
Well, let's see. I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink coffee or tea. Those are all religious. Let's see. I gave up. I kind of gave up. I gave up soda like 5 months ago.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm gonna have to have a moment of honesty with you, man. Moment of honesty. I
Okay.
had a soda yesterday. I had a really bad day, and I was like, you know what? I don't drink alcohol, but this will be the closest thing to it. So I had a Dr. Pepper. I had two. Okay, I confess.
It all comes out now. Here you go. We're getting
Yeah.
the dirt
I know it was bad. No, just typically water. I know it's such a boring answer. If I have, or you know what, I had something the other day that was really good. No, you know, we're just gonna say water.
Okay.
But if I had to choose a bet, if I could go back to my drinking soda every single day phase, a Diet Coke, the silver can. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Gosh, I miss that thing.
Yeah, I drink a little diet soda here and there. I know it's not the best thing for me, even though, okay, there's no sugar, but it's not, So
I know.
it's kind of my treat. That's what I have. But yeah, right now I'm having my morning coffee because I really probably couldn't function without it.
Gotcha.
no, but that's, hey, people don't drink enough water. We honestly, we don't. And it's a finite resource. I mean, it does, of course, replenish, but you don't realize
Yeah.
how important, especially in the Southwest, how important water is. Because when I'm out there, it's like, they're asking you to conserve your water. I'm very much aware of how important it is. Water's important. How important water is, especially in the Southwest. Whenever we go there and stay someplace, they make you aware that they're trying to conserve as much water as possible. Yeah, but that's good to hydrate, folks. Hydrate, especially here in
Hydrate.
East Coast, man. It's I love it out in the Southwest because out here, it's humid.
I don't know how you guys like live there. I hated Las Vegas. I hated the heat. It
Oh,
was
it's
a
intense.
hundred, yeah, 110 degrees, and the people next to me, they were like, "Well, it's probably the same heat right now where we're from, but add the humidity." And I was like,
Yeah.
"Oh, kill me."
I'll take that heat out there in the Southwest because I can get in the shade and you
Yeah.
actually get some relief. It's just if you're in the sunlight, you'll dehydrate and you won't even realize it because the moisture just evaporates off your body. I always carry around water when I'm out there. If we just go for a short hike someplace outside of Vegas, you better believe we're packing water with us.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you won't realize how. We usually go, when I go out there, it's like early spring or like late winter where it's really nice out there. I don't go in the dead of summer, but I'll take that heat over this Delaware Northeast humidity. I'm just not a fan. I
Yeah.
just don't. You go outside to do something and let me get something out of the car and you come back in and you're drenched. It's like, what happened?
Yeah. Oh, gross. Nasty.
Well, hey, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Are there any other con appearances that you'll be driving to?
If Salt Lake City drops their prices, I'm talking to you, Salt Lake Con. If you guys drop your prices on Artist Alley, I will be there at the end of this year. If not, I will not be at any more cons this year. I might do a couple store appearances, but that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, people have to realize these tables aren't free. The artists that go there, they have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So if, they're not able to sell some of their books, I mean, it's the cost of doing business for promotion, but still, you can only do so many a year. I was talking to one writer and he was doing like 20 this year.
Oh yeah.
And he says he's going to back off after this year, but I said 20. Oh my
Oh
gosh.
yeah. That's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. I wish you the best. Is there anything else you want to share? Of course, I just want to repeat, Demons is available, Insane Comics 1 through 4, 5's coming soon. You're working up to 10 already.
Yeah.
And if, you know, for those who want to try Comicology, go ahead. And I ask you, if you do, keep in mind, if your local comic shop has a portal, use that. Give them a taste. You know, don't take their business. Use their site to get to Comicology if that's the way you choose to read your comics. Anything else we should know? Anything else you're working on? Anything else you want to update us on?
You interviewed Lou Cooper.
Yes.
The Hollow Girl. We haven't like publicly like announced it, but I'm going to do it right now, I guess. Luke and I were working on a crossover.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, between Demons and Hollow Girl. We have decided that they're going to be in the same universe.
Oh, wow. That's great. I love that book. Yeah, that's great. That'll be a great matchup.
Yeah, so it will be like a little bit on the story. Basically, in like I said, issue 5, Ace has been missing for that year, for a year and a half. And we don't really delve into like what he did that year and a half. We just know that in this new arc, he's a changed person. So in this crossover, it's going to be during that year and a half, and in that year and a half, he spent some time with Hollow Girl. I'm currently writing it, and then I'm going to send it over to Luke. He'll do some edits to make sure that I did his character justice, and then he's going to do the art.
Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention, that you also did some coloring for Kelly Bender, who was also on the show.
Oh, yeah, man. I always forget about that because I thought we'd be working on the third issue right now. But, yeah, I did Claws number 2. I did I don't know what happened with Kelly's previous colorist, but I've been watching Kelly's, like, indie, like, career, and I was like – and he posted saying – he goes, hey, I need a colorist. And I was like, and luckily for him, I had 2 weeks of just like nothing, which was really weird. And so I said, yeah, I can do it. And so I was just every single day busting out like two or three pages to him just so that they could get their book out on time.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for all those updates. Those are great. And Tyler, I wish you the best of luck. And thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, thank you very much. I hope to be on this one more time. Maybe a couple more times.
All right, and that wraps up my interview with Tyler Carpenter on his book Demons and Other Things in the Works, the crossover with Hollow Girl. I didn't know about that until the interview, so that was great news to find out. Check out Demons and the other Insane Comics titles on the Insane Comics website for print and digital, and Comicology as well. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I have some more in the works. I have quite a few lined up for July. And I think you're going to be very pleased and very happy with who I have on the show coming up. Some well-known writers and artists coming on the show. Now, if you like what you hear, you can reach me at Creator Talks Pod. That's at Creator Talks Pod on both Facebook and Twitter. Occasionally, I'll have some posts on Instagram, too. And you can also reach me through my website, creatortalks.com. That's creatortalks.com. And again, I have simplified the website so that on the homepage, there is a playlist so you can go through, click on the show you want to listen to or download. And as always, it's available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And if you like what you hear, rate and review on iTunes or Stitcher, or both if you're feeling very generous. And remember, the podcast is free. The only thing I ask of you is to leave a review if you have a chance and spread the word. Let your friends know about the show if they're into comic books and comic book creators and want to learn more about the people behind the books that are being produced. Send me your feedback, questions, comments, criticisms. Constructive criticism is always welcome, so I appreciate that as well. I want to make the show the best show I can possibly make and produce so that you can enjoy it. So thank you to those who have sent comments and for the new followers this week. Well, I'm out of here. So for Creator Talks, I'm your host, Christopher Calloway. Until next time.